I'm Willow Belden.
I'm Becky Jensen.
I'm Angus Chen.
You're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. This is our advice segment, where we use wisdom from nature to help sort out your most pressing personal questions. So, how are you guys doing today?
I'm okay.
Good.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Willow?
I'm doing well. I just recently got back from a climbing trip in Idaho, which was a bit of an impromptu trip. And some of the people that I went with showed up in their camper with a cat that they take camping and climbing with them, which I thought was pretty entertaining. So
that's awesome.
Henry the Craig Cat was definitely the star. Henry the Craig Cat, he was the star. So, what are you guys up to?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I am going on a road trip with my sons. They're going to be seniors in high school. And so we are driving up through Wyoming, going up to Bozeman to go check out the Montana State campus. Dane's thinking about an earth sciences paleontology degree up there, which is really cool. And then we're going to go up to Glacier National Park for a couple of days.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then we're going to go down to Yellowstone, and we're going to go dig in a quarry in Wyoming. And then we're ending it at a niece's wedding in Casper. So it's going to be...
Sounds like a terrible trip.
Horrible. It's just nothing to see here, folks.
You've got some travel coming up too, Angus.
Yeah, I'm going to Portugal tomorrow with my sister, and we're going to go to a part of the coast called Ericeira, and it's supposed to be, I've never been there, but it's supposed to be some of the best surfing in Europe, or maybe the best spot in Europe, I don't know.
Does your sister surf too?
My sister does surf, yeah.
That's awesome!
Yeah, my brother and my sister and I, we all surf.
Okay, well, let's get to the question that we're addressing today. This comes to us from a listener who we will call Where Am I Going? And here's what he wrote to us. I just listened to your episode of The Nature Fix about sucking it up to take care of your family, and it inspired me to reach out to you. I'm in my late 20s, never been married, but been in serious relationships essentially back to back since I was 17. I moved to Colorado a few years ago after one of the relationships ended because it was what I wanted to do. I've always worked in corporate America, but I've always been active, enjoyed doing things outside, and wanted to have as much fun as possible. Since moving to Colorado, I've gotten into skiing and climbing in a big way. I've been exposed to a world of outdoor recreation as a lifestyle and profession I didn't know existed when I was making choices about my future. I had always assumed I'd go to college, which I did, get an office job, which I did, have a family, and be happy. I've been on this road a few years, and the happiness is nowhere to be found. Instead, I dream of either throwing off the burden of society, selling all of my possessions and living in a van, or wishing I had spent my college years learning the skills necessary to become an AMGA mountain guide. I sit in my cube, wishing my career revolved around being active, staying fit, and planning fun trips or outings. Doesn't even have to be crazy. I really enjoy taking new people out to climb for the first time. Having been an athlete from age 6 through college, my self-worth is definitely tied to body image and being good at physical activity. At this point, I feel lucky to have zero student loan debt and am in no hurry to take on any in an attempt to switch careers, especially to one that is very competitive, low-paying, has a low retirement age, and that I'm not convinced I'd enjoy. Further complicating matters is having a somewhat serious partner. I've already expressed to this person that I don't particularly want to get married and more than likely don't want to have kids. These are for selfish but important reasons. I know I feel my best when I have time to myself to work out, get outside and climb and ski, and don't have many obligations financially. Children are expensive, both monetarily and time-wise, and I don't think I'd be happy giving up my activities to go to soccer games and ballet classes. I know it's tough for my partner to hear about me wanting to move into a van and live a nomadic life because that doesn't jive with her path. Part of the reason I don't want to get married is because I'm not entirely sure which direction my life will head. Maybe I will work up the courage to become a mountain guide and spend half the year in South America. That doesn't lend itself very well to being married and raising a family. It's also easy to say that I'm making a choice by staying in this relationship, and that's true, but at the same time, it's very difficult to walk away from someone who cares about you and supports you. At the end of the day, it comes and goes in waves. There are days when I'm glad I get to leave the office at 5, go to the gym, come home, and take a real shower. Other days, it's all I can do to fight the urge to send a text saying, "I bought a van and I'm hitting the road. You can stay or come, but I'm leaving." I just don't want to wake up one day feeling like I missed an opportunity to live my life in a way that makes me the most happy, bogged down with commitments, unable to make a big change without significantly altering other people's lives. I think the crux of my struggle is, how can I identify with confidence what is going to make me the most happy in the long term? Does that work? I feel like that's what my mental theoreticals always come back to. Would I be happier foregoing ever having financial or personal stability and having adventures all the time? Or would I be happier being financially and personally stable and adventure less often? Thanks for listening. Signed, Where Am I Going? All right, so that's the letter. Angus and Becky, what are your thoughts?
You know, it kind of sounds like he knows what he already wants, but he doesn't really want to take that plunge because he's a little afraid of leaving behind this life that he's already created for himself. And maybe he feels like this choice to go live in a van is a little irresponsible or maybe a little hurtful to the people around him.
Agreed. And like, you know, so many of us, it seems like he's trying to check all the boxes, you know, in this kind of rigid, almost American dream formula for happiness and success, right? Like, go to college, check. Get a corporate job, check. But then he comes to, like, have a traditional home and family, and he's not sure he wants to check those boxes. And he's already lived by the rules so far and says that the one line just killed me. It was, happiness is nowhere to be found.
I know. And, I know.
But you know what? A lot of us have been there. I don't want him to think like this is something that we come where he's alone in this. I think it's very familiar for a lot of us. On one hand, he says like he sits in his cubicle wishing his career revolved around being active and planning trips. But then on the other hand, he says he's in no hurry to take on student loan debt to switch careers. Especially one, like you said, that is kind of competitive and low paying. And also, this is the tricky part, is he doesn't even know if he's going to like it. You know, making that jump is tough if you're like, what happens if I don't like it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is, he's asking us, you know, how am I going to know what's going to make me the happiest? And I think that's like actually really difficult to know when you haven't ever experienced this other thing that you're dreaming about.
Yeah, at the same time, I mean, it does, what you said at the beginning, though, Angus, that it seems like he knows what he wants, actually. Mm. I mean, it does kind of sound like that to me, because, I mean, look at the language that he used. He says it's his dream to sell his possessions and move into a van, and he thinks that this nomadic lifestyle would make him the most happy. So he uses words like happiness and dreams and all that when he's talking about the moving into a van, living a nomadic lifestyle. And when he's talking about the life that he's currently living, he kind of frames it in terms of obligations and burdens and like, this is what I should do. This is what I am supposed to do. Which, you know, that may have been subconscious when he was writing this, but I think it's kind of telling, actually.
You're right. It does really sound like he's already sold himself on the nomadic lifestyle or the van lifestyle. Reading the letter kind of made me feel like a friend was asking me if they should like buy this thing that they really want. Like, should I get this like really fancy mattress or something? They're not really asking me to walk through and weigh the pros and cons of buying this thing. They're really just asking me to be like, yeah, go, like, here's the permission to go buy the mattress that you really want. In this case, yeah, it sounds like he's just sold himself on this dream, on this lifestyle. And he's kind of asking for permission to follow those dreams.
All right. So, where am I going? You have our permission to follow your dreams.
Hereby granted.
hereby granted. No, but seriously though, I mean, this is something that I think a lot of us have been through. This question of wanting to follow our dreams, but feeling that it might be irresponsible to make the leap. I mean, it's certainly. I went through a similar decision-making process several years ago where I ended up walking away from a really good job and a stable income and benefits and colleagues who I respected and liked. And I walked away from all of that without having a real plan for what was going to... I mean, I knew in the immediate future what I was planning to do was go hiking for a month and a half. But after that, I didn't know what I was gonna do. It was like this giant question mark. But I walked away from the real job because the life I had wasn't making me happy enough. And I hoped and I thought maybe I could be happier doing something else. And again, I didn't know what that something else was going to be, but I knew I needed a change. So, you know, I quit my job. At the time, I had been working for the Wyoming Public Radio, which is the NPR station in Wyoming. And so I quit that job and spent the summer alone in the mountains. And then I came back and I started out there. And I am so much happier now than I ever was when I was sort of on the more traditional career path. And, you know, I'm not saying that it works out that way all the time, but certainly taking a risk and going out on a limb in order to follow your dreams, even if it seems a little reckless, can be a really good thing, at least in my experience.
Yeah, agreed, Willow. And you brought up the issue of risk, too, and it comes up often in our advice segments, you know, and again, it's an important one to talk about. For this particular one, I took a similar leap of faith in my career. I was working a corporate job with a great salary, had bonuses and benefits, and I wasn't happy. And it's not like there was anything huge and horrible that needed to happen in this career, almost like in a divorce, right? Where, you know, sometimes it's kind of just this overall feeling of unhappiness, this feeling of not being content, this feeling of not kind of living, doing the things that you want to do that are calling to you, but you're kind of settling. And so I think it's even harder sometimes to make those changes when you're not completely miserable. Those changes, for me at least, were even harder. But I quit my corporate job to become a freelance writer. And really similar to where am I going, it was to try this kind of unknown career, just to try it on for size. You know, it was riskier. It was non-traditional as well. And I was a divorced mom with two kids and a car payment and a mortgage payment. And I was like, what am I doing?
And what could possibly go wrong in this scenario?
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, and mine was like, so freelance writing, you know, it's notoriously low paying, and I wasn't sure. Here's the other thing. I wasn't even sure if I would like it.
Yeah.
just like, where am I going, where he's not sure that he actually would like the life path that he thinks he wants.
Sure. I mean, you know, this corporate job, I said, you know, I wasn't, like, there wasn't this big grand event that happened where I said, I am done with this. It was kind of killing me softly. And so I was willing to... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it reminds me of a quote that by Henry David Thoreau, where he says that, and I may get the quote a little bit wrong, but basically the gist of it is most men lead lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
And I remember that sort of like coming into my mind when I was sort of at this point of thinking about making a change. And I was like, there's nothing that's like actually wrong with where I am. There's no big thing that happened where I'm like, I need to leave. But it's just, it's like you said, it's just sort of eating away at you, and you know there could be more to life.
The other piece that really struck me with this was, where am I going? It sounds like you want certainty before you make a big life decision. You want to know for certain that walking away from your current life and kind of becoming this nomad is going to make you happier. And we don't have the answer for you. That's plain and simple.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
You know, here's the thing. If you wait until you're absolutely sure about something before you make a change in your life, you're going to be waiting forever.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I mean, especially the desire for certainty is something that's really understandable here. But the kind of lifestyle that you're looking at, you know, this sort of nomadic van lifestyle, is an inherently pretty risky lifestyle. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And if you decide to do this, it's like all of that is stuff that you're going to have to accept. You're going to accept the whole package. The only thing I would really say about what you end up doing, and I'm not going to say like one decision is really the better decision of the other, like whether you decide to stay in your current job, in your current situation, or if you decide to leave and live in a van and try to make things work that way, is own the decision and commit to it. You know, do it smartly. You know, do it with at least some sort of loose plan in place so that you kind of have direction when you're doing it, so that you don't sort of feel like you're just waffling between one choice and another, or even doing something kind of like halfway.
But like dive in and make the choice and then do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's also, you know, it's also worth noting that this doesn't have to be a permanent thing. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like
it's a really good point.
Yeah, this is feeling, especially in certain fields, you sort of feel like, okay, if I leave my job, you know, how am I going to get hired back into this job if I decide to come back? Or how am I going to get another job that sort of is just as good if I haven't been working in this field for a couple of years or a year or something? And I don't know. I mean, it probably depends on your field, but for a lot of people in a lot of fields, that isn't really true. There's a lot of ways you can sort of hop back into industry if you need to. I have a friend who used to work at a big tech company out in Silicon Valley for a couple years, and then he hated his job. He decided to quit. He was like, okay, I'm really bored here. That was one thing he kept saying. It's like, I'm really bored here. Like, it's a great job and everything, but I don't really want to be doing this anymore. And he was fortunate enough to have a lot of money saved up. And
that's helpful when you work for a tech company in Silicon Valley.
It's a bonus of working for a big tech company for sure. But yeah, he had money saved up, and he decided to just quit and spend the next like year or so surfing. And at the end of it, he was kind of like, I remember because this is around the time when I met him. He was like, yeah, no, it'd be nice to have a job again. And he was like applying for jobs. And about a month after that, he got another job at a startup, a tech startup. And that was just like, you know, it was a very deliberate choice. He like committed to it. And it was a thing that he got to experience for a while, which I think is really cool.
When he left the job at the tech company originally, did he think he was just going to go be a nomad forever, or was it always his plan to like do this for a little while and then go back to a real job?
I don't think it was. I mean, it wasn't like he was going to not work forever. No, he wanted to surf. Like, that was the thing. Like, he wanted to surf. And he was realistic about like, you know, like not being able to be a surf rat for the rest of his life. That like, you know, eventually, you know, you run out of money, so you have to figure something out. So he was ready to figure, like, he knew he was going to have to figure something out eventually. And
but he didn't know what that thing was going to be necessarily.
In the beginning, I don't think so. He is also fortunate enough to have the kind of skills that are very in very high demand, right? You know, like a former software engineer for a big tech company, you're very marketable. So
sure.
there's also some safety in some degree of safety in the choice he made, and that may not be true for you. Where am I going? Then again, I mean, you know, maybe you do have those skills, in which case things might not seem quite so stark.
Yeah, well, and I also think, I mean, regardless of, even if you're not a software engineer or somebody with such highly, you know, high paying marketable skills, I mean you're going to be able to come back and get a job and like live in a house again if you don't like being a van dweller. You know what I mean? That's not, this is not something where if you decide to go live in a van and it doesn't work out and you hate it, like you can go become like a more normal human being again. And like, you know, like I said, live in a house and have a job. And I mean, I remember thinking about this when I quit my job, because I had several people, and they were mostly, sort of people my parents' age. And my parents weren't alive anymore when I was making this decision, or else they might have tried to talk me out of it. But certainly, like, you know, like uncles and aunts and other people kind of said, well, you're going to leave this job. You don't know what you're going to do next. You're going to, like, this is going to leave a gap in your resume. Like, what are you going to do about that? And my answer to that was, if somebody doesn't hire me because I took some time off to follow my dreams, then it's not the company I want to be working for. Mm. And I mean,
and, I just talked to somebody, Willow, whose daughter had taken a year off, and she was trying to get a new job, and she was having a really hard time because she had that year where she couldn't account for it career-wise on a resume. And she changed her resume to write gap year.
And then?
And then she got 3 different interviews.
Wow.
Right, so it's just about how you spin it, I think, how you portray it.
And the thing that, you know, about Angus's friend, you know, And what you said about kind of just being able to hop back in and get a job right away, it kind of depends on what you're doing and where you're living and where you decide to settle once, when. Yeah, you want to go back and get that desk job and you're ready to settle down and get a house or whatever. And so that just makes those bigger career changes with like job and financial insecurity is looming large. It just makes them so much harder.
Right. Well, and I'm not saying it will be instant and automatic and easy to just jump right back in to a real job if that's, you know, if you decide the van life isn't for you. But I mean, I think it's, if you're willing to, like, if the van life really doesn't work out, I think you will come up with a plan B that will work. It just, yeah, like the van life, it's going back to Angus's point that you don't have to make this decision for the rest of your life. Like whatever you decide right now, it doesn't have to be your permanent lifestyle for the rest of ever. Hmm. It can be something that you try and see if it works for you.
Yeah.
I also think that there is value in kind of easing yourself into this decision. Where am I going? You know, maybe start by taking some smaller steps before deciding to quit your job. You know, you could get aggressive about saving your money at first, or you can start by exploring your options. And I do feel like you have a variety of options here. To start off with, first, you know, do some due diligence, you know, and gather some information if you haven't done that already. Maybe rent a converted van and then go on a long solo vacation and see if you like it. You know, not just like a weekend, but maybe something longer to give you a taste of what it really would be like to be living in a van for like a couple of weeks. And maybe go, this is a real thing, but go check out Van Life Festival this summer.
Van Life Festivals.
They are. Hashtag Van Life. So there's actually one in Colorado. Where Am I Going said he was from Colorado. So there's the Colorado Van Life Gathering, and this year it's going to be in Basalt in late July. Or you can check out the Van Life Diaries. And there's also the Van Project online. And I guess my biggest takeaway from this is whether it's in person or online, it's just, there's so much good information out there. You don't have to reinvent the wheel on this. You know, talk to people who live in their vans year round. You can discuss the pros and cons with them.
Trying to get a sense of whether this is, you know, for you.
Yeah, exactly. So my kids are going to be going to college next year. A year from now, my kids will be in college.
Becky, are you thinking about moving into a van?
Never say never, you know?
You seem to know an awful lot about van life festivals and things.
Well, here's the deal. You know, my kids are going to be in college next year, so I'm exploring what my next steps are. But I'm not going to just, like, go to their graduation party and then leave, right? You know, it's right now I'm looking at how I'll live and how I'll make a living. You know, once I'm an empty nester, will I still be here in town? Will I still live in a house? Or will, you know, I was looking at, you know, tiny houses as an option or maybe a converted van. I don't know.
I could totally see you living in a tiny house. That would be adorable.
I'd love it.
Tell your kids.
I have so many critters. I have so many pets. That's like my question. How do you deal with the pets? Animals.
And you can tell your kids to bring their sleeping bags and then come home for holidays.
Yeah, there we go. There's no room for the kids. Bags. You don't get to come home.
Exactly. They can have. I'll make a little loft for them. That'd be fine.
There you go.
So I was exploring this so much that back in May, I went to this van life presentation that was in Boulder. And they had a panel of experts, and some were people who actually did the converting of the vans, you know, so they were like putting in the electrical and putting in kitchens and bedrooms and all kinds of stuff. And then there was another part of the panel, and they were the people who live in their vans year round. And it was fascinating. And I learned a lot. And, you know, I'm kind of on the fence. I'm not sure that would be, you know, where I would want to go. But it gave me information so I could make a decision about it, you know, took away a lot of those questions.
Yeah. So there is one important factor here that we haven't really addressed, though, and that is the girlfriend. So Where Am I Going says he has a serious partner, and she is, as she should be, she is a big factor in his decision-making process. And it really sounds like she does not share his dreams of living a nomadic lifestyle. Like, that's not part of her plan. So what do we do with that?
You know,
I mean, that doesn't make it hard. You got to
admit. Oh, jeez. Well, and if this lifestyle truly is a deal breaker for both of them, then leaving a long-term partner is really hard. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And it's not a decision that you take lightly, and it's obvious that he's not taking it lightly. He's actually staying put and feeling very conflicted because of this obligation he feels to this partner. But at the same time, the girlfriend feels like an obligation, you know, rather than a person he wants to spend the rest of his life with. It feels like somebody he feels like he has to stick around for. His language choice in his letter feels very detached. You know, he said, it's difficult to walk away from someone who cares about and supports you. He doesn't say, it's hard to walk away from someone I love.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it does make me wonder whether his heart really is in this relationship 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it obviously it sounds like they're supportive partners. It sounds like they're good to one another. You know, they're probably a really great match in a lot of ways. I'm just not positive that he really feels like on a visceral, like emotional level. I'm not positive that he feels 100% committed to this. And, you know, if certainly from my experience, if your heart is not in a relationship, it's might not be a relationship that you want to hold on to long term.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And what about that text?
Yeah, it was, the text he wanted to say, the dream was, I bought a van, you can come along or not, but I'm leaving.
No, yeah, sending a text like that, oh.
I mean, for one, this is one thing that I'll say for certain, do not do that.
Like, yes, please, yeah, please.
Yeah, like, you can, you know, whether living in a van or keeping your current life and situation, you know, that's debatable, but definitely don't break up with this kind of text. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would agree with that.
The other thing, the text, when he mentions the things that he's glad about in his current life, he mentions the gym and he mentions a real shower, but he doesn't mention his girlfriend.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I think that's sort of another, and again, I think this may be subconscious in his letter writing, but I do wonder whether his heart really is in this relationship. I'm not sure.
The thing is, he's also been in back-to-back relationships for all of his adult life. You know, this is his norm. This is what he's used to. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt probably to take a break and just spend some time by himself, you know, so he can become more in tune with who he is, kind of explore some of these dreams and see what it's like to live without a partner. And whether that's breaking up with the partner or whether that's just taking a break from the partnership, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I would say that whatever decision you end up making about this, it's really important to kind of own that decision as yours. It would be really terrible if you ended up staying in your current life because of this relationship, but then feeling like, you know, your girlfriend was tying you down and that she hadn't really permitted you or let you go off and live this dream that you've been thinking about, and then resenting her for it. And that's not really fair to her. That's not her. It's not her fault that you decided to stay. So, you know, if you decide to stay, you know, it's just important to remember, you know, this was your decision. And if you decide to leave and you end up missing the girlfriend because she didn't want to accompany you on this adventure, that's also your decision. You know, this is something that you chose for yourself.
But I don't want it to sound like this is kind of the job scenario where, you know, you get to make a choice about this woman. You can either leave, you know, and then when you're tired of being alone, then you can come back and she'll be waiting for you.
I don't think that's it. Yeah. I don't think that's what we're saying here. But more of a question of like, but I do think you have got the right, a good point here, Angus, though, that, you know, you don't want to stay out of a sense of obligation and then get to the point where you are resenting your girlfriend because you feel like she's making you stay. Like, that is not going to be a healthy relationship then.
No, absolutely not.
And something, too, that if your decision, where am I going, if it doesn't jibe with what she wants in life, then I just want to be really clear about this. And she can make that choice right now because you've had a conversation with her. She can make that choice to walk away right now. Mm. You know, the one thing that we talked about before is you just please don't blindside your partner. You know, please don't blindside her with a major decision that affects both of you.
Yeah.
You know, by deciding to leave.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think that you should be open with about how you're feeling, you know, that this is a serious decision, if you haven't already.
Yeah. Okay, so sort of tying this all up, what final words of advice do you guys have for Where Am I Going?
Ooh, you know, one thing is... I've everything has a trade-off, you know, and that's not a bad thing. It's just, it's reality, right? So you might want the freedom of van life, but just know going into it that it can be uncomfortable, maybe a little dirty. You might, you know.
Dirty? Living in a van without a shower? No.
What? Madness. But also, you know, you might enjoy the romantic mountain guide life where you can go and see the world, but it's going to cost you, probably going to cost you money for the certification, and then you might not be making a ton of money, but you have this outdoorsy lifestyle that you say that you love and you dream about. So the key, I think, is to pick the option and the associated trade-offs that feel the best to you.
Right, because you're not going to have a perfect life. I mean, the perfect life probably doesn't really exist, right? So it's like, which option is going to be better for you?
Yeah, I think there's just always going to be trade-offs. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just, you know, kind of the way it is. Mm.
Yeah. For a lot of people, it's enough to do the sort of weekend warrior lifestyle and have a home and a job, a home that doesn't exist on wheels, I guess, and a job, and then spend their weekends or, you know, holidays going out and having adventures. You know, maybe you've already decided that's not enough for you, in which case I would say make a decision and commit to it.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. we've said this before, but it really does seem clear that you're not happy with your current life. Where am I going? And you've got this sort of visceral feeling that you want to try something different. And you're just a little concerned about, you know, making a decision that's irresponsible. And that's a reasonable concern. But it's like Angus said, pick what you want to do and do it. And you can do it in an intelligent manner. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be totally irresponsible. You can set the wheels in motion and figure it out and do it in a way that makes sense. But do be true to what you actually really want on a gut level, because it sounds like you know what you want, and I don't want you to let your mind talk yourself out of something that your heart really wants.
Yeah. And there's a great quote from an 80s punk band that I like to leave with you.
80s punk band. Because
we get all of our best quotes from 80s punk bands, right? The Butthole Surfers, yes, if you remember them. But, you know, you could kind of mull over this quote, but it's better to regret something you have done than something you haven't done.
Mm. I like that.
So whatever you decide, where am I going? Good luck.
And send us pictures. I want to see pictures. If you move into a van, we want photos.
Yeah, I would love to see those. And thank you for sending in your question.
If you've got a question for Angus and Becky, please get in touch. Just email me at willow@outtherepodcast.com. You can send a voice memo with your question. That's our favorite because then everyone gets to hear your lovely voice on the show. Or if you're not comfortable with that, you can just email your question in written form. Either way, we look forward to hearing from you. Oh, and one quick note. We are absolutely thrilled to share our thoughts with you, but we also want you to know that the views and opinions our advice columnists express are not a substitute for professional advice. If you're in a situation where you need psychological or medical help, you should consult with an appropriately qualified professional. A huge thank you to Cindy Trim and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. If you'd like to make a gift of your own, just head over to our website, outtherepodcast.com, and click support. We are a small, independent production, and your contributions make the show possible. That's it for this episode. Our advice columnists are Becky Jensen and Angus Chen. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.